Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang podcast for Saturday, May 1st, 2010. This is Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hello there.
And Phil Wilson.
It is about time you busted out some electric guitar, for God's sake.
Yeah, hallelujah.
That rocks.
Now, are you guys celebrating May Day today, the Celtic festival?
The what?
May Day. Today's May 1st. Yeah. It's May Day.
This is where they take the bombs and they run them down the streets in Russia, right?
What?
They do?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God, you're right. They do do that.
The May Day parade. I'm thinking, what? The bombs?
Oh, okay.
Bombs in the street.
That's right.
It's the workers' thing. Do they still do that? Probably not, but...
Good question.
I don't really know. They do it in Cuba, probably.
Yeah, well, they probably celebrate the Cuban Missile Crisis.
May Day parade down in Bloomington on tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So, are they going to run bombs down the street?
Probably not. No.
Well, and it's just like
my guess.
It's just like my city to have their May Day parade on the wrong day,
on the 2nd of May.
What the hell's with that?
Oh my God! Well, but you know, I mean, it's like the fireworks by Mount Normandale Lake in Bloomington. That happened.
I live right near there.
Yeah. I mean, they happen like on July 2nd and 3rd.
Oh, yeah. So I'm always up north. I miss them.
Yeah, that's fun. Well, let's talk about last week. So we had a quick meeting with Mojo Minnesota, and we already did a post about that, so we won't dwell on that. But they have an event coming up, an invite-only event, and we're going to that. And they're working on public policy stuff. And there seems to be a lot of attention and focus right now on venture capital and innovation in Minnesota. So that's really a good thing. Would you guys agree?
Oh yeah. Yeah. If it'll help, you know, I mean, anything that'll help, you know, a lot of people are trying.
Yep. No kidding.
To shake that money loose, but,
but
Michael Gorman and friends are still sitting on most of it.
I know. And if they're listening, they can send checks to what's your address?
Right.
So MHTA was last week and we've exhausted that, but SMB, the social media breakfast at Concordia.
How did that go? I didn't make it, but
it was fabulous. Lisa
Grimm. It was really fabulous. Yeah.
I was surprised.
It was sort of out of our normal subject matter being the real estate side.
It was very much in our subject matter. It was all about social media and real estate. And I was kind of expecting to hear, oh geez, these guys don't get it again. But the people, the panel they put together that Lisa Grimm moderated, they got it. They got it.
They were good.
So what kinds of things are they doing?
Well, they're individual bloggers. Most of the panelists were sort of independent bloggers too, right? They're independently employed. I'm trying to remember who all of them were.
We had a real estate agent who was incredibly savvy. She seemed to really get it and understood that you just can't go selling. I mean, just get on a Twitter stream or on a Facebook page and just start selling. She really got that. It was really nice to see.
Teresa, is that?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah. Yep.
Teresa Boardman, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she was great. Well, and the other thing, too, is you know, how we've talked about a lot of people looking at social media in the same way that I bring up the example, you know, you invite me to a party at your house and I walk in and the first thing I do is walk around and hand brochures to everyone and start selling them on stuff. I mean, you know, if you start bombarding people without them even knowing who you are, it's exactly the wrong thing to do with the whole social media space. And it seemed like everybody on that panel got that.
You must tell the lurking schlepper story.
Oh God! Okay,
oh, that was funny.
Yeah, so I'm sitting in there, and Tim, you know, I had asked, or Lisa Grimm, who moderated it, had asked in advance for people to go to her posterous blog and put in questions. And so I went in there and I put a question in related to, you know, how can you use social media effectively in real estate without being a lurking schlepper, you're ready to pounce the moment someone uses the word house.
Right.
And so she asked that question and people kind of chuckled and so on. Then somebody said something about lurkingschlepper.com. So I went on instantly and looked and it was available. And then when I checked back like 3 minutes later, somebody in the room had gone and signed up for the domain lurking schlepper.
Done a GoDaddy on it, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It was a Roseville-based web design firm.
And, yeah, the back chatter was funny. There was a lot of that going on, as there always is. SMB, and that's one of the funnest parts about going to it.
It is, and it was a huge, I mean, how many people do you think were there, 300?
Close, 250-ish for sure.
Yeah. It was nice to be in a situation where we weren't sitting on top of each other, too. I mean, it was a good enough space that it was wide
Bingo.
Open.
Bingo, yeah.
Yeah, it was a darn very, nice very auditorium.
Yeah. So I got an email from John Pierce. Now, John is the COO of a startup here called Zipgnosis. And I did a post about these guys, and I'll put that in the show notes. When I met with John, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and they're a startup that is focused on sort of a digital triage. You know, the whole Minute Clinic idea? Mm-hmm. The CEO of Zipgnosis is the co-founder of Quick Medic's Minute Clinic, and he served as a CEO until they sold the company. And
for a lot of money,
yes,
to CVS, I believe.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And so he came on board Zipgnosis, and essentially it's a mobile based triage. I mean, you can actually sign up $25 and you can go in and you can ask for a diagnosis, and they go through the whole triage with you all virtually. And there's a whole process to it, and I won't go into it, but here's the kicker. John had kind of alluded to this when we got together, that, you know, some of the organizations they were working on, well, they just signed a 12-month pilot agreement with Park Nicollet.
Yeah, I saw that. Zipgnosis. That's great.
That's phenomenal. It's just huge for them. And hats off, Zipgnosis, to John and Rick Krieger, the CEO, for nailing that bad boy. So that's great. That's great.
So, Steve, they have apps in the App Store now, or one app?
Yeah, it's an iPhone app.
Okay. Yep. Not for the iPad yet, huh?
No.
Well,
no.
It'll play on the iPad, sure, though, because it's an iPhone app.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, but the whole point is, you know, to be able to be highly mobile. You know, so if you're somewhere and you're like, man, I think I got strep throat. Well, you can make an appointment with your doctor, go in, and it's, you know, if you got a copay, it's, visits 80 or $100.
Can you submit pictures of that too? What's this pussy little thing that won't go away?
No.
Please, no.
No. But I mean, if it's something that can be diagnosed virtually through a diagnostic process, then a nurse on call can do that. And otherwise, you know, they get to a point in the diagnosis where, you really need to come in and see a doc. Then an appointment is set up. And you go back and forth on the appointment until you find a time that works, and boom, you got the appointment. So the whole thing is handled that way. No phone calls, no nothing. I think it's just a great model.
How long has the app been available? And have you used it, Steve, or looked at it?
Albert Marucci mentioned it at his social media breakfast, which was, what, 2-3 months ago?
Oh, that one back at Open Book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That healthcare thing. Oh, right. It was available then. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, well, John walked me through the whole process. I haven't done it yet, but anyway, so that I wanted to mention that. Then I also wanted to mention that I had a really nice phone call with Matthew Faust. Now, you guys remember that the app that I used for our podcast when we were standing in line by the Apple Store on the iPad release was called Fire Field Recorder, done by Audiophile Engineering, which is a Minneapolis company. And so I reached out to them by email and said, hey, you know, I use the app and it's great and love it. And, oh, by the way, I'd love to, you know, do a story on you guys. And one thing led to another. And Matthew Faust, one of the co-founders, and I talked. And I'll put a link in the show notes to their stuff, but they've got a lot of great Mac audio apps. They've got this app for the iPhone. And he also alluded to a lot of other cool stuff for the iPhone and iPad coming. And we're going to be in touch, and we'll be doing a story on Audiophile Engineering coming up. So there's all these companies out there like that, let us know who you are.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity out there in the iPhone app world. That's for sure. I keep learning about them all the time.
Yep.
And even other medical ones, by the way, that harking back to Zipgnosis, I just learned that Refactor has done an app for Mayo Clinic that I haven't personally looked at. And I know the guys at DoApp are also working with Mayo Clinic on a thing called M-Remedy. But I don't know if that's out there yet, if it's available yet.
Mm.
But, and I talked to Aaron Cardell earlier in the week, too, about his mobile realty apps.com stuff.
Yeah, I've been talking to him, too, and I'm about to post on a bunch of local developers that will include him. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's out there stirring things up.
Yeah, he also has an app called iGarageSale, which is
incredible. I think it's that's just a great.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard of that.
It's fun just to open it up and see what your neighbors are selling.
Yeah, well, he's got a new wrinkle coming on that, kind of a follow-on that's is going to be submitted or already is, but it's not live on the store yet. And it's called, I'll mention it in my post, it's called Free Near Me, I believe.
Okay.
So it's all about free stuff.
All the stuff that people put out on their curbs? Is that
junk,
what that's about?
Baby, yeah. It's kind of like the version we have in Bloomington where we have the curbside pickup every May.
It's fun to sit out on the front porch, have a cold beer, and watch people wander through your neighborhood.
Oh, it is. Yeah, all these people come through with trailers picking up all the stuff. So the city of Bloomington hardly has to pick any of it up.
Oh, God.
It's brilliant.
When I was in college... my girlfriend had a couple that she was really close to, and we went over to dinner at their house, and they told this story about how when they moved into the apartment, they got a sofa from somebody, and one day they started itching, and it turns out that there were fleas in the sofa, they had to basically burn everything in the place and, you know, get rid of everything. And so here they are sitting on their porch, and this Hispanic family drives up with a van, and they start to put the sofa in the back of the van, and they run out, and they're trying to communicate with them and tell them, no, don't take it. And they're like really mad at them because they don't speak English, and they end up driving away with the sofa. You know, the dad is standing there pushing them away. Just, oh my God. So that's why I don't do free stuff. So Phil, all those sweaters you wanted to get rid of, I don't really want them.
We don't want them.
Yeah, you don't really want them. But they're from the Bill Cosby collection.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Aren't they from your preppy days?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I would wear them jauntily around my neck.
There you go. Hey, you know what? Why don't we just take a minute before we jump into the stuff that's coming up, and just go around the horn and just briefly, what are you guys up to these days? I mean, what are you doing, and what are you involved in? Tim, how about you? How about if you kick it off? Just spend a couple of minutes.
Aside from the wine, various wineries that I'm working with, that I've worked with for a long time, folks like Goose Cross Cellars in Yountville in the Napa Valley, and a few others that come on here and there for some work. I'm working still with the Comcast folks here in the Twin Cities region. And also with the Oracle retail division, but I'm also have been working for the past couple, 3 months now with the folks at Hello Viking on their curation station, web app, which is interesting as it, continues to evolve. And curation station is a way for, any business really, but it's targeted at larger businesses and brands to take all the social media activity and then do something with it. So it makes it easy to find information that can be then shared back on websites and blogs and so forth. So it's an interesting project, and it's going to be gaining steam here over the next few weeks and days. And I know Phil did a Mitivate post, which you can put in the notes on that a couple months now, I guess, Phil.
Yeah, it was.
On Curation Station?
Yeah. On Curation Station, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the point where it can be an affordable piece for a lot of folks out there.
Yeah, I'd like to use it.
Well, as they say, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, Joseph Reuter is...
They're cooking up a blogger version of that service.
Well, this is kind of how it works. I don't know if I really knew you were working on that. So I'm glad we're talking about ourselves. But it's interesting that you're working with them. But Phil did the post. That's cool. That's kind of how it has to work, you know, because it's hard for us to be flogging our own clients all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have to not only do you have to do all these disclosures, but I thought that it would be, you know, good fodder for the blog. But, you know, one of you has to do it. And I thought Phil, I'd like to see Phil's perspective on it. So
it was fun and I really enjoyed it. And the honest to God, when I first looked at it, I said, yeah, I want this. Yes, I want this. You know, it became a little bit more difficult when we looked at the price of that particular version. And I had spoke with Joseph Ritter about, you know, what he was doing with it. But I'm very excited about the piece because it really does answer a lot of problems for those of us that have wrestled with Yahoo pipes trying to come up with feeds and aggregation. It's
bingo.
It's a very nice piece.
Any talk about them doing any native apps, like, you know, meaning iPhone, or are they not there yet, or aren't they going there?
Oh, no, I think eventually that clearly this kind of thing would move into more of that direction. But right now they're focused on the web app and doing versions of the web app for different kinds of customers.
Sure.
Cool. Cool. How about you, Mr. Wilson?
Lots going on, and I appreciate the opportunity to say a little bit about what's going on. And those of you that are listening along saying, oh, geez, they're just, you know, flogging their own stuff. We do want to, well, every once in a while, stop and be selfish. So thanks very much for indulging us.
This is the first time we've ever done this.
Well, yeah, I think we might have done it when we first debuted the thing, you know, talking about what we do, but that has changed.
That was like 76 shows ago, though.
I know. It's interesting how much of what we're doing has changed. I think that's probably more a testament to the economy and the particular space that we operate in. But RemainCom has really become, you know, the main focus for me, which started out as just a blog, is now turning into a bit of a business. So I'm doing some marketing and social media and regular media strategy with folks. One of which I'm happy to say is Mix Mobi. Lisa Foote and the gang over at Mix Mobi have brought me on board to do some work for them in the marketing realm, and just having a great time. I respect the heck out of her and just really like working with them. And Mix Mobi's got some very exciting things on the way. If you're not familiar with it, check it out at mixmobi.com. It's a great sort of DIY mobile social coupon generator and a very cost effective solution for addressing that segment of marketing and advertising. But I also have some other things in the works there, hopefully some that will come to fruition. As you know, it's all about proposing and seeing if somebody will hire your services. So, and also recently, as a matter of fact, just started this week working with a Triton Media company called Dial Global, doing affiliate work with three of their syndicated radio programs across the country. And I got to tell you, I was a bit hesitant about getting back into radio, but I am happy to say that at least the three talents that I work with, the three shows that I work with, are very into social media spend a great deal of time using it to make their shows better and also involve the audience in a more active way. Those shows around the country are Cooper Lawrence, who does a night show out of New York City. She's just a great to listen to. Also Bob and Sherry, which are based in Charlotte, North Carolina. They do a morning show and an afternoon show that's based in Charlotte as well, Matt and Ramona. So I actually work talking to radio stations about those properties. So that's just some of the stuff that's going on. And of course, Comic Twit still chugs along and in search of more comedy and a business plan.
How do you make money on jokes on Twitter?
I don't know. I see. If I did, I probably would only be doing one thing. So
it will eventually appear that
like Twitter. Eventually, there'll be a paying business model. Right.
Well, you know, I got to tell you though, very big in India right now. Probably in the last two.
That
weeks,
is so funny.
Have added over 2,000 followers from India alone.
My gosh,
I'm a very big deal in India.
So don't travel with Phil because you know you won't even be able to see the Taj Mahal. There'll be so many people around him. I wouldn't be able to get in.
Yeah. Well, but Phil's so tall, he'll just tower above everybody.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that I'm doing and enjoying the heck out of it too. Just really, you know, when I was at Social Media Breakfast and hanging around with a lot of the folks we do a lot of business with and we talk with and we see on a regular basis, you realize what good folks they are. It's just really good to be involved in that space.
Yeah. That's great. How about you, Graham? What's up?
Well, yeah, I agree with Phil. There's a lot of exciting things going on here in our own town. And I'm definitely noticing a pickup of business activity. So, you know, I think that's good for everybody. I'm seeing, you know, a pickup in hiring. It seems like the recruiters are starting to come out of the woodwork and lots of opportunities out there, both for, you know, independents and those seeking full-time roles. But yeah, I've taken on some new clients recently. I posted on Facebook, I think it was yesterday, that I was happy to say I have new clients coming on from three foreign countries, Germany, Mexico, and Atlanta.
There you
all
go.
All foreign countries.
Yes, all that, yeah. But it's funny how people find you and people do find me in weird ways on the internet. And I've done business like this before virtually with clients that I've never met that literally signed me up without ever meeting in person. And one of these is an internet startup in Mexico, but it's a Brit that has been based there for about 7 or 8 years, and he's a serial entrepreneur, very smart guy. I can't name the company yet. It's very much under NDA, and it's really up. I'm helping companies like this with kind of pre-launch strategy. I mean, a lot of them need basic startup advice, and, you know, I'm doing things like hooking them up with lawyers and you know, things related to their intellectual property, you know, whether they should proceed to patent protection, that sort of thing, with the idea that I'm eventually going to be helping them with marketing. The other one based in Germany came about from my recent trip to Silicon Valley last week. So this one's kind of fascinating. Again, it's a stealth stage startup, internet, very much internet technology and patentable kind of proprietary technology. But the business development person is based in the Valley. And she met me. And as a matter of fact, when I was standing with Leif Larson at his little demo station at the recent On Demand conference, and I think everybody's seen the video of him presenting out there, doing a wonderful job up on stage. But anyway, so I met that startup that way. And it's like they're ready to go. And, you know, they want to sign me up. And I'm saying, hell yeah, let's go, baby. You know, and then the third one in Atlanta came to me via a consultant matching service that I'm now working with, who I met at Demo. It was one of the demo companies called Solvate, S-O-L-V-A-T-E, and they're a staffing engine, and they match consultants to gigs. And so they had kind of recruited me actually before Demo. I realized later that they had found me on LinkedIn and thought I'd be a good consultant to have in their network. And I, you know, I never turned down an opportunity to potentially get new gigs. You know, I mean, any marketing opportunity or any opportunity you have to market yourself as an independent consultant, you know, is good. So sure enough, it was a matter of only maybe a week after I did my thing with them, they hooked me up with a startup in Atlanta that's a graduate of their local kind of Y Combinator Techstars kind of thing. And it's called Shotput Ventures. And they're a graduate of that program. And it's a fun little company called Ninja Post. And what it is it's forum software that runs in the cloud that you can put on any site or any blog.
Yeah, that guy reached out to me, by the way, about Minovate, about doing that on Minovate.
That's probably because I told him.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
exactly. Yeah,
he mentioned tell me that. He was going to do that, but I told him I blog at Minovate, and they'd be great to have. But their challenge is they need to find the big communities that have large numbers of users, and that's what he wants me to help him try to get to, you know, try to figure out how are we going to get to these folks who are unsatisfied with their crappy forum software. And there's a lot of crappy forum software out there, by the way, you know, or it's so geeky, you know, like PHP BB and stuff like that. You know all about that stuff, Steve, right?
Yeah. In fact, that's probably a good segue because the you guys know that my bride, I met her. I was actually a rep calling on her at Target store. She was a buyer in audio. I couldn't ask her out. It'd be a conflict of interest. But then she got promoted into trend merchandising for Target stores. And one thing led to another. And I went to her promotion party and asked her out. And the rest is history. But she and I, when we were living in Chicago, started Marketing Directions, Inc. And that's the Trend Curve. That's her trend forecasting business. And it turns out she's now one of maybe three people in the world that do what she does on color, pattern, and design trends for the home furnishings industry, not consumers, but for the industry. And so I wanted to have our site be more focused on the ability to have multiple authors and also to, you know, have social media connections and just to be a lot more robust. So I completely rebuilt the site on WordPress and configured the e-commerce and did all the stuff. And we're also now leveraging that to build a new consumer offering. So we're in the midst of planning for that. And the good news, you brought up good news. We were going to try to talk about good news, Graham.
Yeah.
Our business started to drop dramatically in 2007 in the fall. And that should have been our canary in the coal mine to start selling our stocks. But the home industry, our business is dependent upon home starts and remodeling and, you know, people doing things. And since that's been in the toilet for so long, our business has been down. Well, we're noticing it's coming back up nicely. The home furnishings industry is up 3%. And so people are buying our stuff because they want to refresh the product lines and so forth. So that's kind of cool. But with respect to technology, I'm on two advisory boards, television.tv, that's George Johnson's venture, and then faculty.com, which is a Bay Area startup. But Maher Hakim, who's one of the co-founders, was at Lawson with me. Lawson had purchased acquired his third company, and they do essentially broadcast delivery of content in a container. I'll put them in the show notes and you can go look at them.
How are they doing in general? Because he founded that thing several years ago, right?
Well, it's been about 2 years.
I think I met him once when I was out in the Bay Area with you.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And I mean, they keep coming on because again, and this is maybe a segue into the stuff that I've been doing. And you know that I was doing the management consulting and internet as a platform and quote unquote web 2.0. But what I've ended up backing into is building WordPress CMS related sites with video and audio. And I've done 11 of them in the last 6 months.
Wow. That's awesome. Advisor. You should do a post and just list them.
Yeah, I should. I should.
Again, you hate to flog your own stuff.
Yeah.
Doing this because I'm learning about more about what you guys are doing in an hour here than I have in 2 months.
Yeah. Well, and then I've been climbing the learning curve on telephony offerings like Talk to Me. And here's the punchline, and this maybe affects everything we're all doing, but I don't know if you saw what Salesforce just released relative to a WordPress plugin to connect directly with Salesforce.
I didn't see that.
And Zoho, the other platform, you know, they've got a CRM, customer relationship management offering. They have had embeddable code for some time, and it's a little funky and messy. I really like what Salesforce did with this plugin. But what's happening is everybody is now that I've done these sites for is pinging me on, you know, how can we have connections with people through the site go directly into our database. And, you know, someone has an Access database that they wrote like 6 years ago and stuff like that. But it just kind of gives you a sense of the shift that's going on and the kinds of things people want. And it's not just search engine optimization, which is changing because of what Google's doing with PageRank And the lighter weight and faster your homepage loads, the higher you'll be in the rank. So it's not just page rank, but it's also going to be the efficiency of your code. And that's going to be an imperative going forward. So it's not just SEO and it's not just connecting with social media, but it's also how do you also integrate what you're doing on the web. And if you look at NetSuite, those guys that Larry Ellison's involved in, they've got a enterprise resource planning footprint. They offer all that stuff and it's all integrated.
Oh, it's crazy. Leif and I heard him speak, the CEO, last week in the Valley or whatever it was, a week and a half ago, and Mark Benioff too. So yeah, the stuff going on in the cloud is, and with integration in particular, is big
it's
goings
big.
On
right it's
now.
It's big. And for any startups that are listening, there's no question that you can hook your front end to a CRM system, whether it's Salesforce or Zoho. You can use a telephony application like Talk to Me, which can then connect up with 9 other people. You know, thank you for calling Minovate. If you'd like to talk to Graham, press 1. Phil, press 2. Steve, press 3. Tim, press 4. Or just leave a voicemail. You know, you can set up all that. Hey, let's
do that.
Exactly.
Our own secretary.
Exactly. And then the last thing that you guys know I've done some of those screencasts for a buddy of mine out in the Bay Area that's got a company, organizational development company that does also software, and they wanted to have training on it. But what's happening is with offerings like Faculty, with software like articulate.com and all of that, there are all of these customers I'm working with, not all of them, most of them, who are also saying, how can we offer things online that people will pay us money for because we're putting our intellectual capital into the training product? And and a lot of the stuff is pretty high level or it's very focused on what they do. And so that's another shift that's been going on. So anyway, I know we wanted to keep that brief, so I'll shut up now.
Well, I thought that was
cool stuff.
That was incredibly brief for you. That was
it is, Steve.
Because Steve is a very, very descriptive gentleman. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody. Try to deal.
Tim wins the award for being brief, though. He's
Tim wins.
He's a man of few words, but he gets the point across quickly. You know,
he does.
Well, I try.
He's awesome.
So Steve's got a little toy there on his iPad, so we ought to really kind of use it. So what did you think of our, are you ready, Steve? What did you think of our little showcase of what we were doing?
Our little showcase of what we were doing?
I need the sound effect. Give me a sound effect.
Oh, there you go.
That's the only one I could come up with. Actually, what I was going to do when I
interrupted, but that's okay.
Actually, what I was going to do when
would have been good. Yeah.
When I introduced you right at the very, very beginning, Phil, I was actually going to mute you and say, "And Phil Wilson."
I felt like that when I was flying back from North Carolina in the center seat of an AirTran Airways.
Oh no! With your knees in your face, I bet.
Oh my lord!
Oh man!
I'd forgotten how bad that could be.
At least they had Wi-Fi on the plane, though.
Well, yeah, but I'm so scrunched in there. I try to get my laptop open and the screen up far enough to see something.
That's why you need an iPad.
You need an iPad, yeah.
They're so great on the plane.
Stop.
Stop.
Jobs has just gotten so into you people. My goodness.
Speaking of Jobs, hey, was anybody at the Apple store last night getting their 3G iPad or?
Not Steve, yet, but Steve? No, it's coming.
No, I'm not doing the, I'm not going to do the 3G iPad.
You know what's funny is within a week or 2 weeks after Steve got his iPad, he was already talking about selling it and getting something different.
I know. Really? It's my ADD.
You are like my hero.
Well, you know what, though? In all seriousness, you know, Julio asked me about my experiment of literally giving up my MacBook Pro and focusing totally on my iPad. And I've been having some real issues with it to replace my workflow, and do remote blogging and things like that. I posted on my own blog about that, iconnectdots.com. And it is a challenge. But here's the kicker. The kicker is I see what it's going to be. I already can see it. And when multitasking hits and when some of the apps are better and there's a little bit better integration with pulling up photos and being able to resize them and things like that, I can see some very, very interesting applications that will essentially allow me to map my workflow, or any of us to map our workflow directly on the thing. It'll be great.
Oh, but, yeah. And that's what I call the content creation piece of it. And I know that you'll be right out in front of that. And
well, it's an imperative. You know, it's an imperative.
It will work for that very definitely. And it's just being talked about much more now as a content consumption device.
Well, remember when the first iPhone came out, it didn't do an awful lot. There were no apps except the ones that Apple wrote.
Right.
And, oh, it was such a simpler time back then.
Well, but remember those days when the Trio was just rocking?
I think the iPad's going to develop in much the same way, where you know, the way that the features have been you know, summarized in this first release. I mean, it's almost as much about what they left out than what they left in. And I think you're going to see a second and third generations of this thing, you know, add significant new features. And then at that point, it will cannibalize the laptop sales. But by then, we'll be on this mobile, you know, we're in this mobile era, I guess, as Steve Jobs calls it.
Well, so Ernest Grumbles, you know, Mojo Minnesota, but Ernest is an IP counselor at Merchant Gould as an attorney. And Ernest pinged me on Twitter and asked, you know, what's the experience like viewing Word docs on the iPad? Well, viewing wasn't enough for me. So what I wanted to be able to do was to edit Google Docs. And I found an app that does that allows me to log into my Google Docs account. I can't edit presentations, but you can edit spreadsheets and docs. And it's light editing. I mean, it's not really deep stuff. But then when you're done with the editing, you can email the Word doc to somebody or to yourself. And so, you know, I told him that and so on. And then I explained my experience with my doctor, you know, sitting with him, and I'm sick and I need antibiotics. And we spend the first 20 minutes talking about my iPad and him replacing his computers with it. But it was just incredible. Let's not go there. Let's talk about what's coming up this week, because several different things, one of which is our friend Leif Larson. Business Card 2 is having a user conference this next Friday. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know a lot about what's going to happen there.
He hasn't told me either, and I've been working with him.
Okay.
But we'll find out when we get there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I suspect he's going to be focusing on the cool new features, and certainly chat was a huge breakthrough for them to figure out how to do that on Business Card 2. And they're very, very pleased with being able to introduce that. So I think it's going to be about getting people to start using more of these new features on Business Card 2, and, you know, just to spread the word and get people together. And I think it's cool to have a physical event, you know, and most of us are going to know each other, I think, but there'll be several people there that I don't know.
Yeah.
It looks like the list is maybe just 40 or 50 people long right now, but it could end up being more than that. I don't know.
Well, if anybody wants to see what it is, go to Minovate, and there's a tab on the side, find a professional. 24 people have connected their business cards twos to the site. And one of the things that's going to be in is going to be a chat feature. What the hell was that?
Sorry.
A motorcycle went by?
My neighbor is somewhat of a Harley enthusiast, and my window is open. Sorry about that all.
Anyway, sound
love
effects.
That toy.
It is great. Anyway, so go there and look at that, and chat's going to be built into it. So if somebody's available, it'll show their status that they're online, and you can look, you can ping them and so forth. And they're really coming along in a great way. And I really like this this capability. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Then TED by Twin Cities is coming up at the Science Museum, and
TEDxTC.
When is that? I should have had the date down here. I don't know.
I think I wasn't fast enough to get tickets. So
May 5th, 2010 is when it is.
So it's Wednesday.
And they are sold out. So
are they doing it over at the Science Museum again?
They are. Yep. So hopefully we'll be able to
watch the Twitter stream for that. Lots of good stuff, I'm sure, coming out of that one.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And then I know this is a little bit further out. Well, no, we should mention Compellent's C Drive event.
C Drive, yeah. Go to I sent you the link, cdrive.compellent.com. It's actually two events. They do a partner summit where all their channel partners come May 2nd to 4th, and then they do a customer conference May 4th through 6th. So they kind of overlap, or they don't overlap, they butt up against each other, and anyone can sign up for the customer portion. Okay. I think you either have to be an existing reseller or you could be an interested reseller to sign up for the partner portion, but it's all explained on cdrive.compellent.com, and it's a big deal. They've been doing this is an annual event they've been doing in the Twin Cities for 3 or 4 years now, and it's all about data storage, the latest greatest stuff going on in data storage, and they get a lot of analysts and media and customers talking about what they're doing in storage and a lot of good case histories, that kind of stuff.
Well,
Four hundred people at these things.
They're a big deal as a startup, there's no question.
They're one of our local stars for sure. Went IPO, and the stock has performed very, very well. I think they're up to 400 employees now, that company.
That's
so
amazing.
You talk about growth from a standing start. What, how many years ago was it when they started? Can't be more than 5-6 years, it seems like.
Yeah.
So a good outfit, based right here in Eden Prairie.
Yep. Well, you know, this is going to sound a little bit of a tangent, but we're talking about storage. I've been listening to tech podcasts, you know, now that I've cut the grass 3 times, I have a good hour or so to listen to stuff, and Crash Plan comes up again and again.
And
this is like, you know, on our pals, Leo Laporte, Patrick Norton mentioned it on something. But they also have an enterprise version, and they're right here in the Twin Cities. And wondering if you guys know how they're doing. And
you know, Matt crops up once in a while. I do an email with him. I've never met the guy face to face, but he's a fascinating guy. It's a fascinating story. Matt Dornquist.
Okay.
He's ex Fallon.
No, yeah, I did
he
not
came
know
out
that.
Of Fallon as a developer, I guess.
They're getting my money.
I have too, since he spoke at Minibar maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Fabulous. And,
I recorded his session. I put it up as a podcast.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, on my blog. And this has got to be at least 2 years, maybe 3 years ago.
Speaking of Minibar, thank you very much for the segue. That's coming up Saturday, May 22nd at Best Buy. I don't know. Are they sold out?
All except $20 tickets. The one I did, they're still available.
Oh, Mr. Gottrock.
Cheapy tickets are gone, but
$20.
What do they call them? Community supporter tickets?
Something like that. Yeah, or sponsors or some kind.
Of course, the supply of those is endless.
Yeah, you got the money. Come on in.
Oh,
they'll
man.
Take all the $20 bills they can get. So sign up, people. Spend $20. It's worth it. It's worth a lot more than that.
It is.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, I hope you guys don't mind, but we just absolutely have to talk about Flash and Steve Jobs.
Oh, no. Do we really, Steve?
Just for a moment.
You mean your arrest for flashing? What was that?
Well, it's just, you know, I know probably everybody that's listening to this knows what's going on and all the brouhaha about it. But it is just, I mean, honest to God, there's developers on both sides. I mean, really big deal, key developers. There's Jobs, and then there's the CEO of Adobe going back and forth. Now the whole thing about, you know, the hypocritical stance that Jobs has on H.264, which is not really open source. There's a license attached to it. And then patents, Google's going to throw.
There's patents on everything. Though.
Everything. There is. Yeah. And Jobs made that point.
That license. It's Qualcomm, right?
And the thing about that is that everyone's saying, oh, you should go with Og Fiora. Well, there's a bunch of people right now that are getting their patents attached to Ogthiora. So even though it's open source, doesn't mean that it's not going to have intellectual property attached to it.
Right, sure. Right.
Right. So it's going to be the same as H.264. But the big thing that to me is that you don't want to get into a fight with Steve Jobs.
No, you really don't. You know,
and Adobe screwed up way long time ago. In fact, Steve, when you and I were still in the printing and publishing business 15 years ago, that's when they really made a mistake when Apple looked like they were about to die.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when they said, okay, screw you, Apple. We're going to take Photoshop and InDesign and all of our flagship creative products, and we're going to put them on Windows first.
Yep.
And I think right then and there, Steve Jobs said,
their goose.
Yeah, he said, screw you, Adobe. And of course, he needed them a lot more than Adobe needed Apple at that time.
Right.
And now the situation's reversed, and he's like saying, okay, it's over, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's got umpteen other reasons why he doesn't want anything to do with it. And it's, you know, it's going back to the old PC era, and it's just not part of where Apple is going.
He made a good point at the beginning of the piece where he's saying, you know, we've known the Adobe guys since the beginning, since they first met at the Adobe restaurant there in near Cupertino, actually, mm-hmm. which they decided to name the company about. And you know, supported them and was their first major customer. Apple put them on the map with Postscript
on the laser printer, baby. Yeah. That would be about 1985, right? Or 86 or something.
And so when the favor could be returned in the late 90s, that's when Adobe said, no, we're just going to go to Windows first.
Right.
And so I think that right there, Steve Jobs said, at some point, we're going to get back at him. And now he's gotten back at him.
Well, you know, but the letter, blog post, whatever you guys want to call it, open letter, that
it's
with no open comments allowed.
Well, this is not a blog. This is a flat HTML.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Technically, they don't have a blog platform on Apple.com. They don't do blogs. So that's one of the other strange, different things about Apple. But I thought Jobs' letter was very unemotional and very, you know, he paid tribute to Adobe in the early part of the letter. Yeah. And, you know, and he went on to state,
it was all about skewering him.
But he went on to state the reasons why it just does not fit their strategy. And I thought it was extremely well done and logical and clear.
What's interesting is you got to look at it this way. This is all, you know, this is just a reminder, folks, that this is a business, and Apple has every right to choose who they want to use and who they want to service and who they want to support. Adobe has every right to use and support whatever they want to do. So, I mean, remember, as much as the online and interactive community is all about social and all about kumbaya and all about working together on technology, there is a business at work here. So I think that you always have to remember that. And would it be nice if everybody worked well together? Yeah, it'd be great, but it's not necessarily going
to
happen.
Well, listen to this. So I ended up following a link on my iPad to one of the Revision 3 shows. Now, for those that don't know Revision 3, it's Jim Lauterbach and Kevin Rose and others that started this Nuvo TV network out in San Francisco. And they do all kinds of fabulous shows, HD Nation, Film Riot, Techzilla. They do all these app judgment about iPhone apps. And I watch a lot of these shows. I really enjoy them. Well, here's the thing. I follow this link, and it leads to their website, and here's a big black box in the center, and it starts to spin, and I thought, well, this is cool. They're instantly delivering H.264, and then nothing happened. And then I went around the site and nothing happened. And so I sent an email and said, hey, I just followed a tweeted link. I'm a huge R3 fanboy. I thought you guys would browser sense my iPad's user agent and deliver to me some spiffy H.264 streaming, but nothing's there. Well, so Ron Richards, who's the SVP of our senior director of marketing there, says, hey, thanks for writing in and for enjoying our shows. Apologies. We're working on a new HTML5 experience. But he said, you know, all our shows are optimized for the iPad for delivery via iTunes. And it was one of those head slap moments. I fired up iTunes. I searched for Revision 3. Here's all their shows. You can click them. A little preview shows up and you can click the go full screen. And here's a full screen stream of their shows. And so that's the, what's happening is already I've talked to probably half a dozen different people that I know who are saying we're going to browser sense and we'll deliver the flash when appropriate. And we'll deliver the H.264 when appropriate in the same space. I think that's where this is all going to go. And the one post that I read, because video is really what matters here because of the ubiquity of flash to playback video. But here's the kicker. The kicker is almost every single video that I know of and all the stuff that I do personally is all H.264 first. Then it's uploaded and then it's transcoded to flash. So it's already H.264. And that's the preferred codec to do the compression and so forth. And so it's not going to be too tough to make that shift.
Yeah, it's going to, and what you're saying is it may go faster than what a lot of pundits are trying to say, that this is going to be some long process, you know.
Well, I think, yeah.
Maybe
I think
not so long.
I think there's a matter of thinking that this could also be a very well choreographed marketing campaign as a setup. Or it could be just mine is bigger than yours. You never know.
never know.
Microsoft, yes, just yesterday or the day before, they came out and said that they're going to support, not support Flash, basically, on their mobile. And so the only major platform that's supporting Flash, ironically, is Google with Android with the next 2.2 version. And my Android phone supports Flash now with Flash Lite, which is just horrendously bad.
Yeah.
But they're going to natively support Flash 10 in Android 2.2.
Huh. I wonder how much crashing we'll see of Android phones.
A lot.
Yeah.
There's enough of it right now. But I have to say that, you know, and I know that Phil also had a chance to use the Incredible from HTC, the Verizon loaned us for review. Yep. And this is an impressive phone. I still have it. I'm giving it back.
It is
today.
A good phone.
Hey, how come you got it for so long?
Well, that's a long story, Phil.
But you so suck.
I'm going to write my review and stick it up on my blog today. So, but if you put enough horsepower in the phone, Android is every bit as good as the iPhone. In fact, I think it's better.
Ooh, them's fighting words.
Well, it does multitasking in a more intelligent way than Windows Mobile does. It doesn't crash if it has enough memory, which this phone does, and enough horsepower to do it. So I think that Android is really going to take on the iPhone. In a very strong way now, because ironically, the iPhone seems to be stagnating somewhat.
Well,
that'll change
at WWDC.
It hasn't. Well, they've already announced what the iPhone 4 is going to do. And yeah, it's going to do multitasking of a sort, and it's going to do some other cool things. But it's still like the same thing that's been out there for a couple of years. It's not evolving as rapidly, I guess, as I see Android evolving.
Well, with one exception is that when you look at the install base of phones, I know how I would feel if every 3 months or 6 months there was a major hardware change. Because right now, I mean, I just bought the iPad and I know there's going to be a new phone and it's going to have all these features that I know I'm going to want. So guess what? I'm going to have to sell the one I've got. Right. And, of course, last time I sold it on Craigslist to a guy that had T-Mobile that wanted to jailbreak it, and he gave me $295, and I went in and I spent $295 on a new phone. So I guess that's cool. But
well, listen, just for everybody's information, the latest poll daddy results from the folks over at Mashable, it looks like that 54% of the respondents say that Apple is right. HTML is the future of the web. 21% say Adobe Flash will be an integral part of the web in the future. And 25% say neither side is completely right.
Interesting. Interesting.
Well,
those are the diplomats in the audience.
And one other thing I wanted to throw in about Android, going back to Tim's comments, is there are something like 46 Android phones out there now.
Yep. Right.
Do you have any idea what a problem that is for developers to manage?
Oh, it's a serious challenge.
It's a serious challenge. And right. That little perspective comes from my friends at DoApp, which are going to be the subject of my post if I can ever get it up today. I'm working on it.
Yeah, but go ahead and cut that piece out. Go ahead.
No kidding.
Run that separately. Double dog dare.
Sorry. But anyway, that's part of the, you know, the hardware piece you have to remember.
I know.
An issue with iPhone. Well, there's three devices: iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad that developers have to manage. But that's a whole lot different than however many Android phones we're going to end up having here pretty soon.
And it is, because you've got different versions of the operating system. The manufacturers and the carriers are very slowly rolling out updates. It's not like the iPhone, where any iPhone user can go to iTunes and get an upgrade.
Okay, well, so there you have it. There's the difference between open and closed, or, with open, you get all sorts of innovation, you get all sorts of input, you get all sorts of opportunities, but you also get all sorts of different things and different stages of development. On the other side of Apple is in complete control.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, like Jobs says, if you want porn, go get an Android.
Yep, yep.
Speaking of which, I'll be picking up an Android later. No,
no, you're gonna get one of those spiffy HP Palm WebOS.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
I think they're gonna call them iPack Palm.
You know, I spent I only got 2 days with that Android Incredible. Yeah. And I would love to go get one of those. But then again, all of a sudden there was like, hey, wait a minute, that Evo on Sprint looks kind of interesting. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I tell you, I'm going to miss the attention when I get rid of my Trio.
Oh, you.
I'll just be an also ran when I have a new phone.
You're also not going to miss the fact that you didn't have a contract, because you're going to lock yourself into a 2-year contract.
Yeah, I know. That's
whatever you pick. And of course, that's with the carrier. That's not necessarily with a phone, but it kind of gets expensive to keep upgrading your phones if you're doing it inside of the 2 years, you know.
Well, having a Trio is like having a muscle car from the 70s. You're going to get attention. No question.
Not necessarily great gas mileage, but you're going to get attention.
That's
was
right.
That what that sound effect was? A muscle car?
No.
And if you get on an accident, you're going to split your head open on the dashboard.
That's right. There's no seatbelt. That's right. All right, guys, let's call her a show. And I'm looking outside and it's just stunningly beautiful out today. So let's go out and enjoy it. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much.
Ready?
Have a good week.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Yep.